Hello, listeners.
Hi.
And welcome back to the On Call Room.
That's us.
Here we are on Tuesday.
I feel like I've seen you so much.
I think we've seen each other
more in the past few weeks than
our lives.
Our lives. Yes.
I think I've seen you like 8 days in a row.
I was actually worrying, like, I was like, what are we going to talk about? Because there's only been one day where we didn't.
But we still texted. We still.
Like, I still know what you did yesterday.
Yeah.
I wasn't with you.
Well, I mean, we haven't talked much today. I mean, I came over and we pretty much just sat.
We got right to work.
Right to work. Poured a glass of wine, put on a face mask, and watched the episode.
Yeah, which is like the best way to do it.
Yeah. So we really haven't talked about our day today. So,
we did face masks.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that.
Okay. My face, I think I accidentally did a chemical peel because it's so red now.
Still really red. It's toned down a little. You look like you went out in the sun for an hour.
Great. Maybe that's what it was supposed to do. But it was a detoxifying. And it was those really creepy ones that looks like you skin someone and put their face on your face. And mine was all black. And then I laughed and I sucked it in my mouth and it tasted really bad.
I always think of, do you watch The Office? That scene when Dwight.
When they do the.
The CPR. Yeah, they're doing CPR and they're like, what do we do next? He doesn't have a pulse. And Dwight is like, everyone, we have 5 minutes to harvest the organs. And he like. The next like clip is him with the skin on his mouth going like.
Making that's that sound. What it did with the face mask.
Yeah, today. And that's why Jake made that noise when you put it on.
Oh,
referencing that great episode.
Yeah. So yeah, face mask. How was your day today?
I'm trying to even like think of what I did.
It was rainy today.
It was gross. I got work done at home. I didn't go work out in the morning, so I feel like I like don't know what I do on days that, because it's like I'm literally just on my computer
floating around
the internet,
the world wide web.
I like sent out a newsletter and felt really accomplished, and then I don't know if I accomplished anything else. Like my inbox is empty, so I did something.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
so a successful start to your week.
Yeah, I'm so much better at being productive when I have like a lot of things to do. When I have like one thing on my to-do list, I do everything but that thing.
Oh yeah. Procrastination.
Yeah. So, and then I worked out at 4:15, got my favorite Subway, which Bree's sub was like boring compared to mine. I get double turkey and bacon.
That sounds, the turkey that you get, I didn't know was a thing. Like,
I didn't get carved turkey today, but yeah, you guys should all try the Thanksgiving turkey. It's probably not turkey, but it tastes really good.
I've never had it. I always get the shiny turkey. Shiny meat. Love it.
So we had cold Subway for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Not as great as the tacos last time we recorded.
Yeah, not as great. But you have provided dinner for me like 3 weeks in a row. So I'm doing, this podcast is really helping me personally.
Bree's getting dinner.
Wine.
No, you brought your own wine.
Bring your own bottle of wine.
Which I'm sad. I am having a glass, but I want more than one. But I'm getting my eyebrows microbladed tomorrow.
Yeah, are you nervous?
Kind of am, because it's on my face.
What if it just doesn't go well?
I'm afraid. No, like, what if I've never had an allergic reaction to anything, so I don't think that will happen. But, like, what if?
What? Then.
My eyebrows.
Oh, my gosh. I have a great story about this, but I probably should not tell you this before you're going to go get.
I'm not really that worried.
Okay, well, don't be. But my freshman year of high school, I went to go get my eyebrows waxed the like day before the Christmas dance.
Yes, as you should.
Or like 2 days or something, which usually you don't need that much time.
Right.
But like something went wrong with like, I think I was on like acne medication.
Oh.
And so I literally had burns under my eyebrows. And we should post a photo of this.
Yes.
So in order to try and cover this up, I just wore a ton of white sparkly eyeshadow.
Like up.
All the way up to my eyebrows. And they like scabbed over. Oh, it was terrible. So hopefully that doesn't happen to you.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what I would do. But hopefully instead, the next time we record, I just have beautiful eyebrows.
Well, I think... I mean, then you don't have to fill them in.
No, you just wake up and they are there.
would you ever consider getting eyeliner on your eyes or
no?
Because
I don't. No, I don't even wear eyeliner, so no.
Oh, what about lip liner?
Just, I would like the darkest of red. I want to wake up and just have that all the time. No, I probably wouldn't. That's scary.
Yeah.
Eyeliner is terrifying.
Yeah, because what happens when you don't want to be wearing eyeliner anymore? I mean, you always want to be wearing your eyebrows.
True. Or like, watch, in a month, it's like in fashion to not have eyebrows.
Like and Whoopi Goldberg.
Or like me 2 years ago.
Yeah.
I ate a popcorn kernel. I didn't think you could hear it, but it was, at least in the microphone, it's like way louder than that. How was work?
Well, it was fine. I mean, not much happened except I broke the credit card machine. Now, I'm not sure if it was actually me, but I went to go put like the chip in to take a payment and it shocked me really bad. I was like, ah, like, I swear to God.
You were struck by lightning.
So I put it in and all of a sudden it shocked me and I looked down and there was a like sad face emoji on the screen. And then it just kept blinking, unauthorized. And so we called like the people and they were like, it is done. It's done.
I'm surprised. Like, I picture like unauthorized and then like all these people come in with suits. And
yeah.
Like,
that's what it,
get away from it.
That's what it felt like. But it felt like it was my fault. I mean, shocked it. And then I got a sad face emoji. It's like,
is this happening the beginning of your day?
This was right before lunch. And so we were only down for a little bit, but then we used like Square.
Okay. So you were good.
Yeah.
Technology.
It's crazy.
It is crazy.
All the ways that you can pay people. Yeah. Like Venmo. That weirds me out, by the way, that people can see your transaction. I know you can turn it off.
Okay.
But what's the point of that?
Funny emojis to like make people laugh by what you say. I don't know. It's like social.
Everything's so social now.
Yeah. So I'm reading this book by Dave Eggers called The Circle because it's coming out as a movie. And I saw the preview and I was like,
isn't Tom Hanks in that?
Yeah. And Emma Watson.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to read the book first because I like to do that.
Yeah.
And so I'm like halfway through and it's like, I think he's obviously talking about Google and like Facebook. It's like a mock, not a mock, but like he's using this other company called The Circle. But I've been to Google's campus and it's very much like describing that and like how crazy it is and how much they know about you. And like, there's these fit trackers in the book where like they put it on your wrist and then they give you this drink of something. And then they didn't tell you that there's a chip that goes in it so that it can like accurately read your like blood pressure, everything. Like, cause this chip went.
Wait, this is happening?
No, this is in the book.
Oh,
what I'm saying is that I think that if it was happening in real life, people would be down for it. They'd be like, yeah, I'd like an accurate reading of mine, but not knowing that chip is like also shared information with like,
that's the thing.
Yeah.
It's like,
I've been freaking out lately that I have like, I feel like Ron Swanson in Parks and Rec, but he wants to go off the grid. That's
yeah.
how I feel. Cause like my friends got a text from me saying I sent them a video, but it wasn't from my number. And I was like, is this Facebook? Like I changed my password, but my password is, then I was starting to think of like where all my password is. And it's like, think of how many things you've made a password for. And like,
oh yeah. It's everywhere.
Yeah. So then I got really creeped out.
Should we just quit the podcast now?
That's it.
End. It's a good run.
It just goes,
we're going off the grid.
It just goes dead. Oh my God, I just had a thought. What if at the end of every episode, you know, like when a patient flatlines? What if it just like,
we're flatlining?
All right, guys, have a good night.
And then at the end we say time of death.
We should announce time of death.
That's so, yeah. Let's
at the end of everyone.
Yeah.
Okay.
We just figured that out. wait, I got to get back to this like data thing. You know what I noticed today? I like, I opened my Instagram at work and I was like, oh my God, I have 25 likes. Like what is this? And I hadn't like posted anything recently. Even when I do, that's still a lot. So, I like clicked on it and it was all these like really inappropriate, like women in like booty photos. And I was like, Christ. Why do I have 25 likes from these people?
Booty people. I like how you said that. It's all these booty people.
I mean, like, they're, you know, yeah. So it's...
They're like porn stars.
Yeah. But are they really? Are they the robots?
Or are they robots? Yeah, I think they're robots in other countries. Stealing our information.
That's what that's what I'm saying. They're gathering things.
Why do
they're hunters and gatherers.
Why do the robots use, like, bootylicious people as their, like, alter egos?
Because sex sells, man.
We should have changed our podcast
to sex sells.
Yeah, I showed you, I think, this weekend. I screenshotted, I got a follower once, and I, like, looked at it, and it was a picture of this bear. Like, it was, like, me and my friend or something was the caption. It was just this photo of this stuffed bear in different places, and I was like, what is this? It still kind of frightens me. Who is the bear? Yeah,
because someone had to have taken those.
Yeah. And posted them, and who is this person?
There were, like, 7 of them, right?
There's more. It's, like, a whole scrolling. It never ends.
But think about it, too. Like, there's some... I have some friends who have some, like, pretty funny Instagrams, like, second Instagrams, where they just take photos of, like, a pet or something. But I guess a stuffed bear is a little different
than McCoy. I'm going to age myself for a second here, but when my cousin was visiting, and she is 20, almost 21, she told me that, like, all of her... I don't know if I should say this, what if her parents... We'll just say someone else told me. Most kids these days have 2 Instagram accounts.
Can't believe it.
One that is, like, their public one, and then one that's, like, private, so, like, employers can't find it, and their usernames, like, have nothing to do with their name, so it's not, like, searchable. And that's where they post all the, like, funny shit, like, Snapchat things and, like, inappropriate photos and, like, drinking photos, not, like, inappropriate.
And just, like... Not booty photos.
Not booty photos. And just weird stuff like that. And it was, like, so she let me follow it. Apparently they're called Finstas, like fake Instas.
Should we get one?
Well, I kind of have one, so I have my business one. And then for, like, the dumb pics I want to post, like, yesterday I posted McCoy as Walter White on a Snapchat filter. I was like, this isn't cool enough for my, like, business one. So I posted on my other one. So I kind of already have one.
I don't think I need to. I'm getting, like, 25 likes every 4
Maybe
photos.
When this takes off and we become famous, we'll have to.
That's true. I'll just wait. I'll wait it out.
Yeah.
Right now, I'll just stick to my one. It seems difficult.
And you have, like, a username that is short and small, and I can't believe you got it.
Yeah. Well, I have had, I've had Instagram a really long time.
So have I.
I was, like, one of the first ones.
I was the first.
I was the first person to get Instagram.
I actually got an iPhone in 2011 because I wanted Instagram. Like, because you
couldn't. Me too.
Yeah. You couldn't have it. And I remember the first photo I took, it was a coffee cup on this table, but it was in Wisconsin when I lived there. And I was like, click, yes, filter, go.
Oh, yeah.
Like, brilliant. My first photo was a coffee cup on a table just to look cool.
Mine was my friend making a really, really weird face. It was, like, not a good photo at all.
Either was mine. It's funny that we remember.
Yeah. I'm going to scroll back all the way. Is it the, well, or do you not have the same one?
No, I do. I can do it all the way back. I'm still mad that I have to have an L in mine for my middle name. Someone already stole Abby Moore.
I've never noticed that. Mm-hmm.
I tried to scroll the way back. It takes forever.
Well, you probably have, like, 7,000 million photos. Something like
that. It takes a really long time. The On-Call Room, however, has an Instagram plug.
Ew.
And we get some funny comments.
Yeah.
Actually, someone gave us, like, a suggestion today. But I just want to do a quick shout out to the people that left reviews on iTunes. I know this is later, and when you hear this, hopefully there will be, like, hundreds of reviews.
Millions.
Millions of reviews.
As many reviews as there are episodes of Grey's Anatomy.
Yes. But we got some really funny ones, I thought. So thank you to everyone that left them, and keep doing that, because that's the only way that, like this podcast would get put somewhere where, like, a stranger would come across it. But I think my favorite review is the most recent one. Someone saying, I was walking on the street hollering, it's Guy, it's Burke's Guy. Because we could not think of what Burke called George. And I can just picture me being that person also, like, knowing what the hell that, like, they're trying to think of and then just saying it. So I thought that was great. But people are loving the pod.
Loving it. Just one. We've already have multiple people who want to join us for an evening of wine and chit chat.
I know. We're going to have to, all the applications are coming.
I were getting letters of recommendations. It's crazy. I mean, we're just having to start a filing system and it's really great.
None of this is true, but it is going well and it's really fun and we like it. And episode 3, I feel like the episodes just keep getting better.
Well, I would hope they would. I feel like at some point though, we are going to say the episodes are getting worse. Something's happening.
Right. But for now, like, I feel like the characters are building. Mm-hmm. I really wish I could erase my brain and watch it without knowing everything.
That I'm sure we could just ask Google to do that for you.
A surgery to erase my brain.
Yeah. No, I know what you mean though. Like, because we know what's going to happen.
We know next. Who lives and dies. And
although I will say, you really remembered this episode. Yeah, I did. And I didn't remember much from it. So this was kind of like rewatching it, even though I've seen it like 8 times or whatever. It was
great.
New. So we're
still trying to figure out. The episode was called Winning a Battle, Losing the War.
I don't understand that title.
Other than should we talk about it first before we go into what it's about?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I kind of want to read the like short summary from Wiki. So we are using the Grey's Anatomy Wikipedia page, which is amazing. So I don't know who writes it, but thanks. The like one sentence summary is: a bike race injures several people, one of whom is left brain dead. Christina and Izzy want to use his organs for organ donation, but they find the organ harvesting process an emotional one. Meanwhile, George deals with an over-flirtatious patient, and Meredith has to deal with Izzy and George moving in, Alex showing off, and keeping Derek at an arm's length.
Ooh.
So let's dissect.
D-boy.
Let's like go through our thoughts maybe, because I wrote a lot down actually when we watched this one.
Oh, is that? I thought you were texting the whole time.
Oh, no, I was writing. You're like, Brie was like,
I can't believe this.
Why wouldn't you just say something to me?
I don't know. I thought it was rude of me. I'm in your house. I didn't want to be like, Abby, get off your phone and watch the damn episode.
You can treat me like your significant other and you can be rude to me.
Okay. Thank you.
I was taking a shitload of notes. Thank you very much.
I took some too.
My first. Oh, wait. Here. Reaching. Just reaching for the wine.
Gotta get the wine.
My first note is that does Meredith only wear that Dartmouth shirt ever?
In these first couple seasons, yes.
Is that because the budget was so low? They couldn't afford more clothes for the actors except their scrubs. The scrubs are expensive.
Dude, yeah. I wear scrubs. They're super expensive. They're stupid too. They're not flattering. Yeah. Oh, can we? I'm going to say something about this. The scrubs that they wear are not real life scrubs. Like they're tailored so well to them and like
fit, look good. But. Although I do think, aren't the Grey's Anatomy ones that you can buy like tailored, like tight?
Yeah, they're tighter.
It isn't married like a teeny tiny stick.
Yeah. So, like, so but you, she looks so like great. If you buy like, if let's say I would buy like normally in most scrub brands, I would buy like a medium. In Grey's Anatomy, I'd buy like an extra, extra, extra large.
Understood.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they look great in scrubs. Mm-hmm. Also, a thing about looks really fast. I noticed that in these earlier seasons, Meredith's ponytail is a lot higher.
Yeah.
It's like a boppy little cheerleader ponytail. And like later, and I feel like she's just like, oh, then again, that's also true of, I feel like most like
people in real life
don't wear high ponytails. I don't know.
I wore a ponytail to work today.
I'm wearing the highest of buns right now.
It looks really good.
Thank you. It's dirty. But yeah, so that like was interesting to me, the Dartmouth shirt.
Yep.
We're assuming she went there, right?
I would think, I don't know why she, well, some people wear.
That's true.
No, I think she went there.
I think she went there.
And she does wear it for like at least like the first 3 seasons.
She does. She looks cool. I think I'm going to be that version of Meredith for Halloween this year. Oh, will you be Ellis? Right?
Well, I was going to say I'll be Christina. Oh. But I guess if you want me to be Alice Gray, I'll be Alice Gray. Sure thing.
I'm just thinking of that scene from episode 1. So we obviously get to see Meredith with roommates.
That's the first thing I wrote down.
Yeah, what'd you write?
Was we're in the house now.
Oh,
because
yeah.
I think we talked about last time that we can tell that like
it's going to lead up to that.
Yeah, like hanging out at the house and sure shit, first scene.
And they're all annoying her.
Yep. Waking up in the morning, which the clock was like what 4:30? Like,
and it was light out.
Yeah, that's not real. That's not how it would really go down. And also, why is everyone? I mean, we'll figure this out or we'll see this more later, but why is everyone always awake before Meredith is?
I don't know.
And they're like, milling about. Like up at 4 a.m, like bopping around doing things.
Personal trainers and doctors.
So, I guess so. Not me. I get up at like.
And garbage men.
I get up at 7:50 and I'm out the door by like 8:20.
That's really impressive. My alarm goes off at 7:50. I'm usually out of bed by 8:20.
Oh, that sounds so nice. That extra little amount of time.
That little oomph.
Yeah.
And then like, so they have the, like George and Izzy are clearly annoying Meredith. Classic.
Classic.
It happens all the time. Although I do feel like it in later, well, I don't, can't talk about later. Also then it like goes to Meredith and Derek on the street. And I, my first thought was
Meredith and Derek.
Sorry, Meredith and Bailey, Dr. Bailey.
No, Derek.
Why can't I say names? Derek and Dr. Bailey on the street, which I always like their relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I know it because I know later seasons, but like, I just think that they are like funny together.
Yeah, they interact well as coworkers, but then also like kind of morph into like a friendship.
Right. And I don't think they break into the friendship part very often. Like,
no.
Yeah. So also Bailey's wearing a pink corduroy jacket. When
hilarious.
When have we ever seen Dr. Bailey wear a pink corduroy?
But the only other time I think we see her in pink one other time.
Yeah. Never again.
Yeah. Yeah.
More things to make note of.
Yeah.
I'm going to pause really quick because I'm looking at this Wikipedia page and noticing that it says that this episode was directed by Tony Goldwyn. Isn't that the guy who plays the president on Scandal?
I have.
It is. He's a director on Grey's Anatomy.
Oh my God.
So Shonda has known him forever.
Forever. Because
that is so interesting. If you guys didn't know that.
I have to say something.
What?
I've never seen Scandal.
Oh, I thought you watched it.
No, I watched like.
Didn't you used to?
No, I've seen like 2 episodes of like a random season. And then I was like, I really need to get into this. But I just rewatch Grey's. Like, just rewatch it. Because starting a new series just sounds so exhausting.
It is. But that's really interesting. So he's like one of the main characters on Scandal. And he directed. I wonder if he directed the first episode. That's what I'm looking. No, he didn't. But yeah, that's really interesting to me and to Shonda Land people. Mm-hmm. Tony Goldwyn, President of the United States on Scandal, directed
the real
directed episode 3. Yeah. Donald Trump directed.
God.
He did not, and let's hope he doesn't. All right. Back to this. Oh God, we are so on time with this. This episode came out April 10th. I know it, who knows when this actually is, but in real life when we're recording right now, it's April 3rd. So we are like so close.
Yeah. We're just,
we're like time traveling.
Yeah. We're following along with this. This is what I told Seth, the first, our pilot podcast. I said the stars are aligning.
It's true. This, I really do think, and the planets also.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. It was 4:37 a.m. when she woke up.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's a bike race. And
The dead baby bike race?
Yeah. Who came up with that name?
Who are the dead babies?
I think, don't they say, like, there's not even a dead baby. Like, they just, they're like, we don't know what. I think it's a bar. It's the name of a bar.
Oh.
Clearly, like, a biker bar, but not motorcycles. Like bicycles.
Like motocross. No, not motocross.
Motocross. And they're all, like, insane. They almost hit Derek and Dr. Bailey.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, going to be some injuries today. And then, of course, there are. Like a mad rush.
Yeah, like someone like flips over a mailbox and then they're in the hospital, you know.
Yep. Alex gets called frat guy.
Oh, yeah.
Which is great.
Like multiple times.
Yes.
In this episode.
Yeah, that's his nickname.
Yeah.
Which it's so weird because if you're a current Grey's watcher, it's just funny to see Alex like as his like early character development.
In the beginning is the biggest douche.
Right. And he's not even like. I feel like he has, like, old guy handsome status now, kind of.
Uh-huh.
But, like, back then, he's not even, like.
He's squirrely.
Yeah, and he just.
That's what the noise I imagine him making.
Yeah. And it's just really interesting that, like, they go all out on him. Like, that no one. He has not had one good quality happen to him yet.
No, and he literally fucks up every single patient he touches. How is he still a doctor?
Yeah, it's.
How is he still a surgical intern?
It is so weird. Because I feel like even some of the characters, like Meredith, is pretty like how she is now. I like, she's kind of like that later. And like, She doesn't. Yeah. I don't know. She changes, but like Alex is a mega douche.
Yeah. The douchiest.
The douchiest of douches.
McDouche.
Should have called him that. I really hope we can get Justin Chambers on this podcast sometime. That's who plays him.
That's his name.
Yeah. He's like a dad.
Oh. Oh, dad.
That's a great one. Oh. Do you have any notes up until the part with Viper?
When was Viper? Early. Okay. I wrote down, like, you know, so Meredith in every episode does her little voiceover thing.
Oh, yeah.
And we find out, like, in this episode, and I can kind of assume, but, like, everything is going to be a competition.
Right.
And
is that what the thing is about? Yeah.
And that, like, that will just transcend through everything. Everyone's right, interactions, right. There's always some type of competition.
Especially when they're interns. Like, yeah. I feel like, because they're just fighting to, like, be noticed,
yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I thought it was, so she's working on this biker patient named Viper who's British. And and he, like, at the end, he's, like, flirting with her. And then he, like, makes out with her.
What would you do if you, well, what would you do if you were a doctor and then you were fixing someone and then they stood up and kissed you?
Well, that's what I don't know, because she grabs his shoulder. That's what I wrote. Like she, like, she's like goes into it. Like, and I mean, like, he was kind of cute, but he was,
also, his name was Viper.
Yeah. Like
I like to think biking in a dead baby biker race.
I like to think you'd, like, push away.
Yeah. And I feel like
that's what I would do. I'd make that noise.
I feel like a Meredith would do that. It didn't seem in character for her.
She's
to, like,
just flirting.
Lean in and, like, make out with a patient. But there are, everyone's crossing lines left and right.
And best of all, Derek sees it.
Oh, yeah. And he goes, the best look.
Yeah, he's just like, you make out with patients now. I feel like he's kind of turned on by it.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he wasn't mad.
No, he was.
And he wasn't weirded out by it either. Like,
he wasn't, like, jealous or like acting like her boss and being like, that's completely inappropriate of you. Like,
no, he was just like, make out with me.
Make dreamy.
Yeah, which he is so dreamy in this episode.
He's so pretty.
I would just run my fingers through his hair. Is that too forward?
That's all you would do?
Just comb it. That's all I would do. That's all I want to do.
So Viper.
And then we have George at the front desk, is my next thought, is talking about the patient, Mackie.
Who is smoking in a fucking hospital.
Yeah. Also is wearing, like, a wrestler suit. It's like a satin robe, like, wrestler suit. It's just, I'm like, what? Who is this guy?
He should have, like, pinky rings on.
Yeah.
He doesn't.
Yeah. And he's this smooth guy. He's the chief's old friend. But the scene that I like, well, he's clearly gay and he's, like, crushing on George or just being flirty.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite thing. First of all, I wrote gay couples in 2005. Holla, Shonda.
Yeah.
Like, that's not, I guess that's not that weird, but I feel like they're one of the first shows. This is before Glee came out. Like, this is, like, to, like, not really, I'm sure there are others, but that I remember watching.
I'm trying to think about one that I...
Granted, there's a gay patient. I don't know if there's any.
What about Will and Grace?
There will be later. Oh, yeah, Will and Grace, duh.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I just think it's cool that they do this guy. Yeah. But also, George is saying...
And it's episode 3. Like,
right. I think that's what I meant. Like, right in the beginning of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Also, it is... George is sitting there at the desk and talking to Alex about how the patient likes him. And Alex is like, are you not gay? And I thought that... I forgot all about that part. That, like, all of the other interns thought George was gay.
They thought he was gay from episode 1. Right. Yeah.
Because he commented on Meredith's shoes. Remember, he was like, you wore the black dress and the strappy sandals. That made me sound gay. And you're like, whatever. So, yeah. Love that. Also, floppy disk.
Yeah, that's what I wrote, floppy disk. It doesn't even make sense. He's like, Christina. And he just, like, waves a floppy disk at her. Like, he doesn't even hand it to her and then asks her about something else. But I was, what was the purpose of that floppy disk?
I didn't know
disk?
They used floppy disks in 2005.
No, the last time I used a floppy disk is when I played Where in the World is Carmen Sandiego in, like, second grade.
I remember saving projects on one for school in elementary school, like that, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I don't really remember using them beyond, like, sixth grade.
No. This is 2005?
Yeah, I was a sophomore in high school.
Yeah, there's no way that were hospitals really using floppy disks?
God. Yeah, so
what were they putting on them? What do you think would be put? Like an image?
Yeah, oh, actually. Oh, no, it's not a floppy disk. It's a CD. Maybe like x-rays or something? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, like we'll get like MRI reports and stuff and like MRIs on a CD-ROM.
Right. But, like, but maybe, okay, so if MRIs are using CD-ROMs today, when there's file transfer online, all these other ways, perhaps hospitals are just behind.
And just
maybe because the equipment
is using floppy disks.
Maybe because the equipment is so old. Like, because it, you know, that like they can't like make it rewrite files to a different way.
Yeah.
Anyways, they used a floppy disk.
Floppy D.
Also, what the next thing I have written is the quote from Dr. Burke. I cannot speak.
I wish his name was Dr. Burke.
When he's like, when he's peeing in the bathroom and they keep interrupting him and he's like, either whip it out or...
Or shut the door or whatever.
And which is a great line.
Yeah. I thought it was... I was going to say, I thought it was cute when he was peeing. I thought when Dr. Burp was, he was like going to the bathroom and Meredith opens the door and he's like, excuse me or whatever. And so she shuts the door and like 5 seconds later, Christina opens the door. Like, oh, these two bitches are going to get in so much trouble together. Yeah.
Clearly. Loved that.
Yeah.
They want him to do the harvesting surgery and he says no. Basically, is what
and
happens.
So they have to go over his head.
Which is a comp. I feel like they always do this.
Yeah, and all the interns like pile together and they actually end up working together, all of them.
Right.
But then Douchey McDouche.
Except he's left out. Yeah, McDouche is left out.
That's going to be his name.
McDouche. Ugh. Which is, I like love Alex, but I just love to hate him.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so I feel like Meredith this whole episode too is dealing with the Viper guy like hitting on her, Derek trying to get in her pants.
Derek is trying very hard.
And then Alex kind of like flirts with her too in this one.
I have like a quote on here somewhere that says, she talks about like, what is it with you men? You need to dirty everything up.
Yeah.
And so there are like three men in this episode. Three that you just named that like Meredith feels like, God, you shitheads. Like,
right.
Why
right.
do you have to be so dirty about everything? And honestly, dudes can be so dirty.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that was like a real life moment there.
Yeah.
And I just feel like I like was felt the pressure of her. Well, actually I've never had three guys all hitting on me one day, but I like to imagine that I could like hear that. And I feel like she just like, she's dealing with work. She's dealing with this. And these guys are trying to get in her pants. And it's just like, what is happening?
Just respect me, man. Like, I worked hard. I got here. I'm a surgical intern.
Right.
Don't be a McDouche.
Right. Exactly. Unless it's Derek.
Yeah. But even, well, but Derek comes at it from such a like sweet, like he's like sensitive about it.
Yeah.
Although she does bring up to him, she's like, it's just about the chase to you. And he's like, well, so?
Yeah. Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, sure.
But then he comes back later and he says, it's more than the chase.
Yeah.
But I like the, we hear the phrase, which it was weird when I heard it. It was like, I haven't seen this episode in years and it made me think of it, is when Meredith tries to like beat up Alex and he stops and he's like, or I could just let her go and beat you to a pulp with her tiny, ineffectual fists. And like, first of all, demeaning. Her fists could do some damage. But also, it's like super cute. And that phrase, I was like, I remember that phrase.
I don't remember that.
Oh, because then he says it later. And he's like, it's not just the chase. It's your tiny, ineffectual fists, your hair,
Oh, what does he say? You're bossy?
Yeah, you're bossy. It keeps me in line.
Yeah, and I thought he said it keeps me alive.
And Meredith and Christina say to each other, I'm going to become a lesbian. Me too. And I was like, I just love them. I love their friendship.
Right before that.
Yeah.
I want to talk about the scene where they're walking in. It's the scene after Meredith comes home. She's had a bad day at work. And Izzy and George are like, what does Izzy say? She like unpacked boxes. Oh, yeah. And Izzy was like, I had a bad day. And I like to nest when I
she's just sitting there like guilty with all of Meredith's mother's things.
Yeah. And they're like about to like watch these surgical videos of like the great Ellis Gray. And Meredith is just pissed and yells at them and tells George to use a coaster. And And then she like runs upstairs. And so the next scene is Christina, and the next morning, Christina and Meredith walking into the hospital. Yeah. And there's this line where she's like, Meredith is talking to Christina about how they're always there. And then she says a line about George, and George does this thing where he's helpful and considerate.
I missed that.
Which is so good, especially after talking about like these other three men who like need to dirty everything up. And then she's pissed at this guy that she lives with who is helpful and considerate.
Yeah.
Like, and they can't win.
No.
So from this conversation comes our first reference to Dark and Twisty.
Wait, how did I miss this?
Because Christina ends up saying something about like your deep, dark, twisted place to Meredith.
Oh.
It's the first time it's not quite yet like dark and twisty, but your deep, dark, twisted place. And then it morphs into something else.
Yeah.
But that's the first time we hear about it.
Well, and it is true. And it's always like constant that Meredith and Christina bond over the fact that they're like cynical, kind of like they're not flowery, considerate, whatever. I mean, they are, but not in a very like outright way.
Yeah.
And George and Izzy are very much like the same type of person.
Yeah, just kind.
And then there's McDouche.
And then
but like though, it's always that two and two is like a really common thing.
Yeah. And oh, and also during that scene, Christina's wearing the worst sunglasses.
Oh yeah,
they're like square orange, like see-through sunglasses, and she keeps them on when she comes into the hospital. And
well, because
like,
they're not actually blocking the sun.
Well, but that person who like walks inside, is like I'm gonna hit this elevator up button, keep these cool things on, like take them off.
Basically, just Google like Britney Spears early 2000s sunglasses, and I feel like those will come up.
Yeah.
They were like faded.
Charlotte Russe with like little heart rhinestones.
Wait, Charlotte? Oh, like the store.
Yeah.
I was like that color is chartreuse. I was like, oh my God, she's referring to a store. Yes. Like rose goldish.
Yeah. Oh, they were.
I had some.
I did too. I loved them.
Mine were pure orange. I actually have pictures of me. I can picture this picture and I'm wearing this shirt from Abercrombie, not Abercrombie and Fitch, who's the kids. And it says, it was my favorite shirt. And I wish we'd been friends then. It was like pastel pink. And in blue letters, it said, a joy to have in class. There was like all these ones that had like funny, I'm sure there was one that was like naughty kid or something, you know, but I bought the one that said a joy to have in class because that's what my report card used to say.
Oh.
Make a joy to have in class.
That's.
Thank
really?
You. Yeah.
That's a thank you.
Yeah. So we learn that the guy who they want to harvest his organs, his wife agrees, which like she hardly sobs. I feel like if my husband died, I would.
Yeah. She walks into the room. They're like, we found the way.
Yeah.
And she walks in and she's like, Kevin, do we have any time? Or like, can he come out of this? And like, maybe she was in shock, but also bitch, go to acting school. Like, or like.
Also, it's funny that we feel bad, like later in seasons when things bad things happen to the cast member, like main characters, it's like it kills us. But like we watch that and we're like, meh.
Yeah, your husband is dead. Brain dead.
Yeah.
Whoop-dee-doo.
Like, I'm still mulling over the death of some characters in this show, but that one is like.
I lose sleep at night over it.
Yeah, you're not alone if you're listening to this and you are still. We should have like a helpline.
Yeah.
If you still struggle from the loss of Grey's characters, you are not alone.
Because there are a lot of them, that's for sure. Spoiler alert.
Also, this is like a kind of big scene on Christina's character is Christina is walking through the like signing of the papers with the wife whose husband died and the daughter.
Yeah. This daughter is like 6, 7 max.
Yeah.
And she's just coloring.
Cold, just stone cold.
Yeah. Like there's no emotion that her father, well, maybe she doesn't understand. She has to kind of understand something.
Yeah, and she's
that,
coloring.
Something bad is happening.
She's coloring a beautiful photo. Yeah. Christina's like, what about the corneas?
And the wife responds, the corneas?
His eyes.
And Christina is like,
yeah, bitch.
Yeah, bitch. His motherfucking eyes. She's like, well, that can give sight back to someone else. And she's, that'd be all right.
Meanwhile, daughter's staring.
Coloring.
Yeah. And then really takes it a step too far. Asks about the skin.
What about his skin?
His skin.
It's like the first time she has any emotion. It's like, don't take his skin. Like,
Yeah. So, and Christina gets so pissed at how she gets emotional and gets up and just walks out.
Which is so rude. So inappropriate. I feel like, and Bailey has to like talk to Christina about it and be like, this is a person. His name's Kevin Richardson. Like,
right.
He, like, don't forget that. He's a father. He's a brother. He's a
mother. No.
What else? A husband.
Yeah.
He's all these things. Don't forget that. Nobody said it was easy. Which, great teaching moment right there. Really great teaching moment. And Bailey does a nice job with that. But I also feel like Bailey should kind of be like, don't fucking leave in the middle of, you just asked if you could take the husband's skin. Like, don't be like, excuse me, pardon me.
She doesn't say that. She just gets up. Can you imagine if you are that wife?
No, the wife should have been the one to walk out, not the person asking if they can like chop his skin off.
Right.
And she's like, we use them for burn victims.
Daughter's just sitting there. So she goes back and apologizes. Oh, yeah. I wrote Bailey for the win when Bailey just looks at Christina and goes, what's his name?
Yeah. Teaching moment.
Yeah. And then there was like a song that came on. I love when Grace pairs like a good song with a good moment.
You're yeah.
Like, yes.
And all that, the feels.
Yeah. And that was like a perfect one.
Yeah.
Which made me. So then like we go to the scene when Izzy and Christina are like working on the harvest. Harvesting the grain. It's October.
Working on the harvest. Oh, that's great. Izzy doesn't want to.
No.
She's like,
I don't want any part of this.
Bow now.
Burke doesn't want to either, but he's the guy that has to do it. So he has to do it.
Because he is a surgeon, and surgeons save lives. This is taking one.
Right. And I thought it was, and then Christina like hands Izzy her mask and is like, we're doing
this. Let's do this, bitch.
Or she was like, every organ you see is a person whose life is being saved.
Yeah.
Which, like, think about in all of the seasons of Grey's, how many times, like, organ donation is being used. Organ donation is, like, the main, like, story.
Isn't it, like, super rare, too?
I don't know.
We'll have to do some research on that.
Right. But they use it in so many episodes.
Oh, yeah. They just like plop. I have always wondered this because they do a lot of liver transplants in Grey's Anatomy seasons. And once again, we know nothing about medical, right, whatever. And they always just plop the liver down and like tap it. Like, nice word, liver. Like, how do they connect it? Doesn't the liver somehow have to be connected? But every time they show it, someone call into this and let us know. They like pick up the liver.
They just kind of nestle it.
Like, it looks jello. Like a weird piece of like sashimi or whatever. Like,
it does look like sashimi.
And they like set it down and then they like clasp their hands and like, our work is done. Like,
also, all the doctors were leaving after the surgery.
With an open body there.
Yeah. And Izzy was like, no, I'm going to stay and sew him up for the family. Which, like, does that mean he would have just gotten handed over?
Well, and I asked you while we were watching it. I was like, does the morgue do that?
I don't think they know how to do that.
But I feel like, no, a morgue would, because a morgue does an autopsy.
Oh. Well, yeah, I guess. But it's just weird. Like,
yeah, everyone just, like, threw their towels down. Like, nice work, Fred. Like, thanks for the organ. And, like,
yeah.
Whose job is that?
So, great combo of Christina and Izzy sewing up the body together. Great learning experience. But, like, also, I think it was cool because I said to you, I was like, I think Christina and Izzy, if they were together, would make, like, the perfect doctor.
Yeah.
Because Izzy cares a lot and Christina's really good.
Yeah. Well, funny, you said today that Christina was not a good doctor. Can you explain yourself?
I meant her, like, personality.
Yeah,
like,
she's not good with people.
She's a good surgeon. She's just not good with people. And she said that in the episode. Then she goes, I'm not good with people.
Yeah, like 5 seconds later after you said that.
So,
and she's not good with people. I think, but each of them have their strengths and their weaknesses. Right. I was really put off by Izzy in this episode.
Really?
Yeah. Why? Well, because in the beginning, like very early in the episode, we see that this person might be an organ donor. Like, he's going to be brain dead. And I feel like you learn about that, obviously, in med school.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
And she was acting like she didn't know what it meant to be brain dead. She was just like, he is a person, and he, like, he can come out of this. There are medical miracles. And, like, granted, there are.
Right.
We know that through the many, many episodes. But I don't feel like that should have necessarily been her first response, especially as, like, an intern who just came out of, like, med school and learning about what it means, like, to, or maybe you don't learn about it then.
Yeah,
in med
you
school.
Might not. But I just feel like, I mean, I get that totally. But I also feel like she just really cares. And I feel like these episodes are trying to establish, like, character development. And,
well, fine, you're right.
And they're going extreme.
You're right.
Like, Christina's being extremely rude. Like, Alex is being extremely a douchebag.
Yeah, and she's
Meredith
being,
is getting hit on by every man that passes her by.
You're right. You're right.
But I agree. It is, like, not real life.
Well.
It isn't. Brie, I have to tell you something.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm having a breakdown and a breakthrough right now. This isn't real.
No.
I thought this was reality television. Which turns out reality TV isn't
not
real.
No.
Oh, my God. Kill me
now. Everything's crashing down.
Kill me now. Where's that helpline?
I have to call it. I thought they were real.
Oh, God. Okay. Okay. After this, the next big thing that happens, fucking Viper shows back up.
My comment is OF gore.
I said, what is that?
Because Viper comes back and he's like, ugh. He's like laying
and
in
Meredith's
the corner.
Like, what's Viper doing back here?
Yeah.
Oh, because we forgot to say, he left. She sutured him up, Meredith did. And she was like, I really want to take you for a CT. You could have some internal bleeding. And he was like, I'm going to finish my race.
Right. And then he didn't do that.
Yeah. And she's like, you're leaving against, what do they always say? What's that like line? Like, you're leaving against medical.
You're leaving against medicine. You're leaving on your own will. I don't know what they say.
But you have to sign something, right? Like, against our medical
advice.
Yeah, something like that.
We're doctors.
We're doctors.
So there's like his, he falls over and starts bleeding out of his mouth and there's this big old lump.
Well, she like lifts his shirt up where like she had sutured him and
it was
literally
like
looks like alien or something. Like something is bursting through.
Right.
He's birthing something out of his love handle. It's what's happening.
Yeah. It's just, so they do that.
They do that.
They fix it.
Yeah.
They always fix it.
Yeah.
You knew in this situation Viper was going to live. He wasn't going to be the guy that dies.
No, no. But Alex gets kicked out of the surgery.
Because he's
a McDouche.
He is. He didn't do the right thing in the time. And he just, totally got screwed up over there.
Yeah.
Meredith's like riding Viper on the way, on the cart.
Riding Viper.
She's like holding him. I don't know how long I can keep this from bleeding.
Yeah. And then she gets to scrub in.
How powerful. There's so many scenes when I wish we could play drinking it. But every time a surgeon rides on the cart holding a body part of the patient.
Let's start doing that. Oh, we were supposed to be tailing something.
Shuffling out of the elevator after making out. No,
there was none this time.
There was none.
Okay.
Okay. Here is where we have that really dreamy moment when Kevin, who is
Mr. Burp and Kevin,
my brain, Derek is like back in the locker room with Mare. I think it's in the locker. Which,
can we talk about this? Why does he keep showing? Why does he keep coming into the intern locker room?
Is it just interns?
Yeah, that's not his. Because later on, they get like a different locker room. They don't mingle together.
I would like to know what the locker room situation is at a hospital. Could someone please tell us?
Yeah, because
do they have? It's raining.
Oh yeah, it's really loud.
Do they have locker rooms?
I think so. Because, like, you don't, I don't think you wear your scrubs into work. If you're working a 48-hour shift, like, I imagine you would, like, wear something else, come in.
Right. No, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
Change.
So, who knows?
But why is he always there?
He's just flirting with Mare.
Yeah. And, there's a great scene. Like, the first time he comes in, that's when she slams Alex up against the, which was really funny because I felt like it was like almost awkward slow motion. She's like, da 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 da, push you up against the locker. Like, he would have had enough time to like move away.
Right. Also, he's like a huge dude and she's like a
but
tiny.
He was liking it.
Oh, yeah. I think he thought maybe she was going to make out.
Yeah. Yeah. Not happening.
He was really into it.
Yeah.
But Derek comes in and I love this part because he says, he looks at her and he just goes, it's not a game. Like, it's not the game that I'm into. And then he lists the, it's your tiny, ineffectual fist, the smell of your hair, and you're bossy and you keep me in line. Or alive, however you'd like to interpret it. And then Meredith looks at him and like looks for like a long time. It's like a moment of silence and they're looking at each other. Mm-hmm. And that was just like, oh.
And you, well, we both, I think Jake started to say something. I was like, shut. And then we were waiting for her to say something, but she doesn't. Mm-hmm. I thought she was going to do a little like, it was going to be a Mare Dare moment.
Yeah. You know? But it was cute that she, that it kind of was though.
Yeah. Yeah. But I thought there was going to be a little bit of like dialogue. I wasn't disappointed. No. I'm very happy with it, but like, I just expected her to say something. And then she's just like, nothing. But it was so cute when he like, she was like, I'm still not going to date you or right. whatever. And he goes to leave and like the camera pans to her, like turning over her shoulder and looking down. She has like the sweetest little grin on. You know that feeling when, I've had it like once, when someone hits on you, flirts with you.
I've had it so,
it's so many times. And like,
you just know.
And they like leave and nothing happens. And you have this like giddiness, these butterflies.
We talked about butterflies this weekend.
We did. Yeah.
And I feel like that's what all Mare Dare are in these first ones. It's like yeah. butterflies galore, which is why I think us, like we love watching this shit. Yeah. We're like, ooh.
Remember the butterflies. Cause they go away.
They do. And I really like think that those two actors, their chemistry is so good, yeah. like right off the bat.
Yes.
Which, can you imagine being them and like having the same, like, you know, partner, whatever, for a show for that long? Like,
how did they not fall in love in real life?
Isn't Patrick Dempsey not that great in real life? Who knows?
Maybe. Oh, is he not?
Well, I don't
know. Wow.
You didn't know that?
I've had so many letdowns in this podcast. They're not real people. Reality television isn't real. And Patrick Dempsey's not a good guy.
I don't think he's not a good guy. I think, well, we can talk about this.
Hard after. To work
I
don't for.
Wanna, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
But I mean, I think him and Alec Pompeo are like, had to have been great together for them to produce that.
Yeah.
Like, and their chemistry was unreal.
Yeah.
So that's why I love that. Like, I love a good TV relationship where you like, it doesn't feel fake.
No, nothing about that feels fake.
No, it's so cute. And they'd be young. Maybe they're in love then. Who knows?
Yeah. But they're both happily married.
Is he? I don't know if he is. He raises. Is he married? Oh, okay.
He's married. He has like four kids or something.
Oh God!
I mean, you can have four kids without being married. Again. This is America. You can do whatever you want.
I wrote a little note about when they go back out and Viper's like hanging out with all his friends that he's wearing one headphone.
What you're doing as right
I'm
now?
Doing right now, actually. Yeah, but he's like, his friends are all hugging him, and he's got like one headphone in.
Yeah, and they're like snapping photos, and ooh, Bailey has like a freak out moment too. This is the first time I feel like we see like a Bailey freak out moment, where she loses it on Viper's friends because they're all doing
right
their things, hurting other people, and I'm excited to see what Bailey produces later episodes with her. Like, she knows how to give a speech, the teaching moments. She knows how to teach.
Yeah, she's. Also such a good actor too. Like, she's just like, bah, 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 bah. And yeah. I just love the way she like delivers like those lines and everything. I actually.
Not my doing. And then Meredith just joins right in. Just sits on down.
Which like that couch is like another iconic.
Yeah. That room. And like the fireplace. And
I love the house set. Like, I like that they use that all the time as much as they do. Cause I think it, yeah. And I love that Christina's over too, which.
Yeah.
She's not always over there, but like,
no, she's not. And it's funny that she's over there with that. Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
But I also love like when they're in the house previously and the part where Izzy was like, did some
nesting.
Oh no. It was actually the very first scene. And, Izzy was like, maybe we could unpack some of these boxes and like get some pictures. And your mom has a lot of cool things and some lamps. And I was looking at like the house. I was like, bitch, it's already decorated. Like, there's all this shit everywhere. Not just boxes, but like lamps and vases and like picture frames. I was like, what do you mean make this more
harmony? Trying to figure out. So we know Ellis has Alzheimer's, but like, why are there boxes of her things?
Well, because Meredith, I went to school. And so probably packed up her mother's home because she had to be put into a home.
Okay.
Because she was planning on selling it, remember?
Oh, and then decided to stay.
Yeah. So okay. She decided.
Was she going to sell it and like just live in a little apartment or something?
I mean, I'm not inside of Meredith Grey's head, but I'm assuming.
I just feel like the story is not very clear.
No, you don't know. Like, they don't get into that. I would assume, well, I can imagine that there are a lot of memories there. I mean, we haven't learned anything about Meredith's father yet.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But all we really know of is her mother, who was a goddess, and
in the surgery room. Also, that was my stomach that made that weird noise. Hope you can hear that on the microphone.
And did you say in the surgery room?
Yeah, if you're not a goddess in real life, well, I feel like
in the operating room.
the surgery room. Oh my god, we could have called our podcast the OR.
I think beyond call
room. It is. Really, I just keep thinking of great other like thoughts that I had. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
The first cut is the deepest. So, okay, winning a battle, losing the war is the name of the episode. I think maybe that's talking about the like
about Viper.
No. About the guy who had his organs taken out. Cause like he died, but he gave his organs, and so he won the battle.
Did he?
I don't know.
Wait, winning the battle, losing the war?
Yeah, I don't understand it. Shonda?
Winning, this is our dear Shonda.
Dear Shonda.
Dear Shonda, what the fuck?
A little bit more of life.
Yeah.
I'm not supposed to. That's what my ad, just like that.
Dear Shonda.
Dear Shonda.
What the fuck does the title of episode 3, season 1 mean?
Yeah.
What is it in reference to?
And I'm like trying to look through this Wikipedia page, see if like anything about it.
God, these are losing the battle, winning the war. Because it's definitely
other way around. Winning a battle, losing the war.
Winning a battle, losing a war. Wait, I said it the correct way though, how it's usually done, right?
I don't even know if this
winning
is
a battle, losing the war. Because I was thinking like a Meridare thing, but it's not about that.
It's not. What was the loss? What was the losing a war?
Maybe is it about our home life? Like, put all this shit away. You bitches, I'm going to do what I want. And then losing the war, like, I'll come sit on the couch and, like, I'll be friends with you.
Yeah, I like that. Like, she's trying to battle it out. It also could be about the Derek thing.
Yeah.
Like, she won that battle with him, but yeah. Down the road, she's
gonna lose it. She's yeah. gonna lose it all.
No one needed a spoiler alert for that. They all know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think you're right. I think it's about Meredith.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think everything is about Meredith.
I think everything is about Meredith, too. Also, I like when the first song comes on, which was Fools Like Me.
Oh.
But you, like, fist pumped. Like, you knew right when the beat was gonna come in, like, before the song even started.
I think I blacked out.
Well, that's fun. You can listen to it. Ooh, notes and trivia. This is fun. Okay. Oh, God. Here we go. The episode's title originated from the song Winning a Battle, Losing the War, originally sung by Kings of Convenience.
Okay.
So, all of the names of these episodes are from songs so far. A Hard Day's Night.
Oh.
Oh, God. We're, like, trying to interpret something, and it's just songs.
Well, but you can't just title something because it's a song. Like,
right. Oh, it says, this episode is the first one to explicitly feature a gay or bisexual character.
Mm-hmm.
We're touching
all the great things.
Yeah, this is funny. That we read, when harvesting Kevin's organs, the last organ we removed is the heart. Typically, thoro-something organs. Heart and lungs are removed first. The heart, in particular, as its viability is shorter than the other organs. So that was, like, a medical miss. Whatever.
Yeah, and they did that obviously for the poetry of it.
Right, because then the patient flatlined.
Yeah.
The episode is directed by Tony Goldwyn, who would be President Fitzgerald Grant. Duh, I called that one too. And, oh, this is funny, a goof. Despite this episode taking place in summer, there are several coats hanging in the intern's locker room. What a goof.
Oh, what a goof to goof.
Oh, I love this.
Oh,
so
they goofed hard.
So we like talk about our things, and then we scroll down to this, and it's like we're hitting on all of the main points. We are so smart.
Yeah, that goes without saying.
I like love that.
I
love that so much.
Okay, so.
Oh, yeah, and the first cut is the deepest was the episode name that is a song. These are all songs.
Well, no, we knew it was a song. We sang it.
I know, but we just didn't put it together that every title is a song.
But is it just this season, I wonder? Because I don't feel like it's all.
I don't know. We never see the title names. We don't watch it on DVD anymore.
No, it says it on Netflix.
Oh, I guess I just don't read it.
I got to think about some of my favorite ones. Nothing is coming to my brain. So.
We'll do it as we go along. But yeah, it looks like every episode is songs.
Well, maybe we'll have to listen to the song too.
Yeah, that's fun. We can't play it here though. Copyright. We'll just sing it instead.
Someday we'll have enough money to pay royalties.
We'll get a live band.
Okay, so I want to ask, who was your favorite character in this episode?
God, I feel like it's repetitive, but...
Are you going to say Meredith?
No, I'm going to say Derek. I just feel like it's always going to be Derek.
Well, you didn't agree. The first episode, I said Derek, and you did.
I know he was super rapey, I know. But now I've, like, succumbed to, the like, his way, and I'm taken aback.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was so cute and kind, and just, I just want to date him.
Yeah, I like that answer.
Yeah, who about you?
I think Bailey. I thought she had a really great, it showcased, like, I'm going to use it again, a teaching moment, and she handled it really well with Christina, and it showed us, like, I think this is a really great doctor. a great surgeon, but also really cares about her interns and creating like the best doctor she possibly can. But then we also got to see a side of her where she like freaked out on Viper's friends. They're like, I like this. Like,
she doesn't like people messing with the, like, she's like, there are people walking on the streets and riding their bikes and you're just getting in the way and hurting everyone.
So yeah. She doesn't want you
to hurt anyone.
No. So I think Dr. Bailey.
And we don't know anything about her personal life yet at all.
No, nothing.
Which is interesting. Because we will, but we don't right now.
Nope. Well, we don't. The only person we really know is Meredith.
And that Derek just moved.
Mm-hmm.
You're right. That's all we know. We will learn so much.
So much is happening.
And we haven't seen this week, so we can't comment on. Did you watch? Did we comment on? Yeah, we did already on last week's episode.
Oh, yeah. We haven't seen this week yet.
Did you watch last week's, though?
Yeah, did we talk about
it? I don't know, because I don't think you'd seen it yet.
I don't think I had. Spoiler alert.
Wait, 1, 2, 3.
Spoiler alert.
Okay, last week's Grey's episode was so good.
Remind me.
What it was about. What's her face? Meredith's sister and her half-sister, whatever she is. She, with her mom.
Oh, did we talk about this?
I don't think so.
I must have just been talking with some other people about
this. I just want to say is it was a good classic Grey's.
It was.
Like, it had me feeling things.
Yeah. Remind me, her mom goes into surgery, right?
Yeah, she finds out her mom has breast cancer.
Yeah. But something else happens.
I don't remember. It's too late.
No, I do remember. I was talking. I was like, didn't we talk about this? No, I was talking with my sister about it because I told her that I cried in bed for 20 minutes after the episode was done.
Oh.
Like, I had like a real deep emotional response, probably because, well, it was Grey's Anatomy and also like, I don't know, hormones or something. But I sobbed when the like 92-year-old gentleman was like, no, I have to learn to do things on my own now.
Yeah.
That felt like classic Grey's to me.
Right, because you felt something for the patient. I feel like it's been a while in current Grey's where, like, you get involved emotionally with a patient.
Yeah, I was so involved with that patient.
He was so cute. And I feel like that is a standard, like, even hopefully we'll see it soon in these ones where you do get involved with the patient stories. And that's why the show is good, too, because the doctor stories are like long. It takes a while for you to like for them to develop. The patient ones happen in 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So like,
unless they carry to, I think we talked about like maybe patient carrying over to episodes.
But that's like an emotional response fast because it's usually intense.
Yeah, yeah, and we haven't seen that yet with patients in these like first three episodes. I mean, like, I was not feeling emotionally
for Kevin
or Viper.
Nope.
Not so much. But I think that grows as like their writing grows and stuff. Like, they kind of explore. I don't feel like they're really exploring that with
not
their
yet.
Writing.
They're just right trying now. To figure out like who the characters are.
Yeah.
Which it was great.
Yeah. So I guess end spoiler alert.
Yeah. They're never going to know. They're just going to stop listening. I feel like there's probably not that many people that are listening to this that have never seen an episode before. So
no,
I know it's a hard line though to like know what to say and what not to, like,
because it is the worst when you're watching a show and there are some like what the fuck moments or like, oh my god, I can't believe that happened,
and
someone
spoiled.
Ruins it for you,
right?
You're like,
Maybe eventually once we get enough listeners, we can do a poll of like who is still up to date with it.
Yeah.
Because I would, yeah, it's just hard to.
Because it is one of those shows. Because some shows you can get away with it. Like, I don't know, The Office or something. Right. Like, there's not going to be anything. You can talk about episodes right. later on. But Grey's Anatomy is one of those dramas that like you can really fuck up someone's viewing experience if you say the wrong thing.
Which I put like, so when I was looking for a meme to post on our yeah. Instagram today, I ended up posting the one, if you guys haven't seen it, and it says, when somebody asks for a summary of Grey's Anatomy and it has Meredith and she looks distraught, and it says, everyone is leaving and everyone is dying. And that is pretty much how it goes later in the seasons. But the other meme that I found was like a photo of a graveyard, and it was like just a photo of my favorite characters on Grey's Anatomy. And I didn't know if it was too soon to post that.
I think it was too soon. I think you picked a good one there.
Yeah. We just got another review in from a friend of mine on the Facebook page. So make sure you guys are also in there, because I would love to know like what people are thinking of the show.
Absolutely.
I'm straight up going to tell her right now to post it on the iTunes page, because that's where it is most important.
Because that's where it's at.
That's where it's at. But oh, I wanted to tell you, Brie, this is good news. So this is... We've only released at the current time of this recording, which I told myself not to talk about this, but we've only released episode one to like a select people. We have 98 plays.
Give me a high five, girlfriend. Yeah.
Which I'll be curious to know how many that jumps to when we show it to everyone.
That's awesome.
I know.
We have
watch like other podcasts get like 2,000 views in the first day.
You know what? I don't give a shit because. The people who are listening
we the people
are the best people. The best listeners, the best fans, the best gray babies.
And yeah, like seriously, I just love how many people are coming out of the woodwork saying they still love this show.
Because I thought I was the only one.
You're not. Not alone. You're not alone, everyone. Dear listeners,
you're not alone.
You're not alone.
Please call 1-888 help me Grey's Anatomy.
Don't call that number. I don't know. So yeah, any final thoughts? Any like hopes for?
I have so many hopes.
Well, here's the next title.
Yeah. Okay.
It's called No Man's Land.
Is that a song?
I think it is. I don't want to hit it and be reminded of what happened. So we'll have to find out.
Well, no, just hit the.
Why don't I just
tab it and see if it's a song? Because I want to know if.
No Man's Land. Song. By Eric Bogle. I don't know.
No Man's Land. I don't remember.
I don't either. Once it starts, I usually start to remember. But.
Yeah. So what am I hoping for? Because we're on season... Well, how many episodes
okay, so
are in season one?
We're almost to the half... Not half. So there's 9 episodes in season one.
Because this is like a
one.
Mini series.
Right. 9 episodes.
Season.
9 episodes in this coming on will be episode 4. So kind of like 2 more and then we're halfway.
Yeah. Because I feel like we've done a pretty good job like defining characters. So I feel like something kind of big needs to happen in the next couple episodes.
Yeah, it's been pretty boring stuff. Either a giant makeout session needs to happen.
Yeah.
Like Meredith and Derek need to like have sex again.
Do they have sex again?
They have to. You know
ever,
what happens.
Ever. I do kind of remember something now.
I'm also anxious to see what other romances form in season one, because I know it can't be just Meredith and Derek.
No.
But I can't remember who it is, and I'm really excited to see who it is.
No, I can't remember. I know in like season or like later on,
things happen,
but I can't remember what happens in season one.
Also, I'm anxious to see what the finale is. You probably remember, but I don't like. Because Grey's finales have a history of being, but they have a history of being like, whoa. Like,
can I just say that every single like natural disaster has happened to Seattle and like every single like, not what's just disaster in general has happened. I'm wondering like how as a writer do you like one up, like just keep going? Like,
I don't know. And I think the actual current season finale has got to be coming up soon because it's like almost summer and those things happen around summertime.
Yeah.
I can always remember being so sad, but school would get out.
And then it always takes so long. Like this year, like they're like, we're done like showing episodes like November 6th or something. And they're like, and we're coming back in February.
Yeah. What the fuck? And you're like, what am I supposed to do during those, like, hardest time of winter?
Yeah,
and like,
yeah. They take a, like, serious break during the worst, the time when you sit in front of the TV the most.
Right, right. Like, I, the actors have to do that, too, you know?
Yeah.
Do
you have any other little...
No, I think I'm good.
You don't have any little, like... Oh, I guess you already gave the little newsy things. Okay.
There's not much news to report.
Okay. Well, should we rate the episode?
Yeah. I didn't like it as much as last week's.
Ew.
I don't remember why. I can't remember anything. My brain. Like, I think it just didn't surprise me as much. There was no, like, crazy. I don't know. I'm going to say, I'm still going to say, like, a 3.5. 3.75.
3.75. You didn't dip.
I did much. 4 last time.
And you did.
They're all kind of mixed.
And you did 3.5 on the first one.
They're all kind of like in the same realm for me right now. Nothing's fun, like crazy is making me happen. I did like Derek more in this one. So
yeah. So might. I did a 3, then a 3.5.
Uh-huh.
I'll probably stick with a 3.5.
God, what does it take to get your vote up?
You just brought your vote down on this one.
No 4s yet for you.
No. I remember like watching this for the first time and still at this point not being committed.
All right.
But like not having anything else to do. So like whatever, I'll turn it on
Which
again.
Which is probably how you all are to our podcast right
yeah.
now.
Whatever, I'll turn another one on. I don't think it was until like middle of season 2 that I was like, shit.
Yeah. That's what you said in 2005.
I've always had a great way of expressing myself.
So yeah, thanks for listening. I feel like every week we're getting 6 minutes longer.
Yeah. By the end of this podcast,
they will be 5 hours long
or more. It'll be like half a day. It's going to be great.
We'll be recording for a whole week until it's the
We're
next
We're just going to be like laying on the couch. We'll be blobs by then.
Yeah. Yeah.
We'll just like, we won't have like a shape anymore. No. We'll just mold into the couch.
We'll be like those
people. Wine bottles everywhere.
We'll just be like those people from WALL-E, that Disney movie, where they're just like, because it'll be like 15 years from now. So
yeah, we'll be.
It's the way it goes.
Abby and I will be in a, we'll be married by then.
Yes, we'll be like, yeah, Christine and Meredith, let's just be lesbians.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, that sounds good to me.
All right, well, thank you so much.
Thanks for listening.
It was so fun to have you here in my home.
Yeah, listeners. I can feel all your energy here.
I'm kind of thinking, too, that we should have a guest before the season's done. I think we should have, like, one episode with a guest.
Ooh, who's it going to be? I have to look through our applications.
But wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah, if you want to be on the podcast.
Right in the group.
Right in the group, or email us, theoncallroom@gmail.com.
Yep.
Or... Yeah, probably just do one of those.
Yeah.
I was going to say, or like private. Message. Yeah, message us on
You
Instagram.
Can message us on Instagram. We'll see that too. So, yeah, we'd love that.
Yeah.
All right.
All right. Well, we love you all.
We love you. I want to be like Delilah.
Oh, wait. Delilah. Time for death.
Oh. You say it.
I can't see it. Turn it that way. Mm-mm. Time of death. 9:45. Wait, no, it's military time. Shit.
Oh, shit. Is it?
Yeah, it's always just like.
Oh god.
1452.
12 plus 9.
Oh god, so we have to get the kill
killer. It's 21.
Time of death. 21:45.
Peace.